Time now for Dial-A-Doc. That brings in Chief Quality Officer Rebecca L. Peterson, Dr. Patterson. Dr. Patterson, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. MD, and I have to ask you this, FAAFP, what does that stand for?
Sure. So it's a fellow of the American Academy of Family Physicians.
All right. Our topic today is advance directives, and what exactly is an advance directive?
The best way I can describe it is written statements of a person's wishes regarding their medical treatment. They are made to ensure that their wishes are carried out when they're unable to communicate these to their provider.
Now, do most of the patients you work with have advance directives?
Unfortunately, no, and that's why we're making this community education series this year. It's estimated that about a third of adults have these documents in place and have shared them with their physician or nurse practitioner.
At what age, doctor, should someone plan to have their advance directives in place?
So I think it's never too early to have this conversation, and the reason I say that is because you never know what will happen. It's better to have this taken care of when you're not sick, when there's not an emergency, and you can have this communication laid out ahead of time and put forethought into it.
Now, a lot of people would think that there is just one document in an advance directive, but really there are three, are there not?
That's right, and I would list those as your healthcare power of attorney, a living will, and then the do not resuscitate directive.
And the do not resuscitate directive, that is if someone is in bad health, that they don't want something that's going to keep them around for another day or another 6 months, they basically are asking for the right to be let go, correct?
I would describe the do not resuscitate as an order where you tell emergency medical personnel that you do not wish to have cardiopulmonary resuscitation or CPR. There's a variety of reasons why people would choose to have a do not resuscitate. They might have a terminal illness. They might have a chronic illness where there's a high risk of them stopping a breathing or their heart would stop on its own. And then there's just some people that have a philosophical belief that CPR is not something that I want for me. And so there's a variety of reasons why people feel strongly about this, and it's best if it's written down so that we can honor their wishes.
Doctor, what does the power of attorney do for a patient?
The healthcare power attorney is really a legal document that allows an individual to designate another person, it would be an adult person, to make medical decisions for him or her when they're not able to make these decisions themselves. It might be a relative, it might be a friend, but it's going to be someone who could have medical understanding of your wishes and not waver from your decisions, that could be a surrogate for you when you can't speak anymore.
Now, the difference between the power of attorney, what is different from that from the living will?
So the living will is really, it's a document that lets people state their wishes for the end of life care that is important to them. And these things may be really generic or they could be specific. Some people will write out, I don't want artificial nutrition, I don't want IV hydration, I don't want long-term mechanical ventilation. They may be more generic and say, you know, if I have an incurable disease, I'm interested in the quality of my life, not the quantity of my life. And that gives the healthcare power of attorney and the provider some direction to go.
That's really something that people need to give heavy thought to, and it might be a good time while you're doing your will to do something like this, too. We're talking with Rebecca L. Patterson, Chief Quality Officer, Dr. Patterson at FHN. And the third part, Doctor, the DNR, or Do Not Resuscitate Directive, how is that different from the previous two we were talking about?
So the DNR order is just a specific direction. What should we do with you if we come across you and you're not breathing on your own or you don't have a heartbeat? And it just gives us direction immediately. Should we start CPR or should we not? So this is a decision that some people have thought about ahead of time. In America, it's assumed that you want CPR if you don't state otherwise.
All right, and why are all three of the directives used?
I think that all three directives are important to have on hand. First of all, you can designate someone to speak for you when you're not able to communicate yourself. Number two, in the living will, you give your surrogate decision maker some direction on what things are important for you, so that they can respect you, that, you know, they can have compassion on you when you're ill. And then, you know, the other item is the do not resuscitate, which may be something that you feel strongly about. And when it's written out ahead of time, it takes some burden off of your surrogate to make that decision for you.
And can people do these all on their own? And I guess my next question is there paperwork you fill out? Do you talk with your doctor? How do you go about doing all of this?
Sure. So there are free forms. You can find them online. Your FHN provider could also supply those for you. Yes, you can do these forms on your own. There are questions that come up when people go through these forms. So I think the best time to have a conversation and fill out these forms might be in an annual wellness visit. So you can sit with your provider, go back and forth about what's important, what does this mean, clarify any concerns that you have, and then you could share a copy with your provider.
Would it be advisable, for example, say a man wanted to go through this, probably would, and if his wife was going to be taking care of all this type of thing, might not be a bad idea to bring her with or the other person that might be your power of attorney and that type of thing, so that they, if they have questions, they can ask a few too?
Right, I agree. Bring your healthcare power of attorney, whoever is important to you, along, so that they can understand what the conversation sounded like. They can clarify any things that are unclear, and then they can honor your wishes and not only have a copy, but have had a conversation of the information.
I'm guessing, Doctor, that this is one of those things that's very hard to talk about and do, but once it's been done, I imagine that's kind of a little relief from folks knowing, hey, I've taken care of this, now I can live my life and not worry about this. This is what I wanted to do, and now it's in writing.
Right, and I think we spend a lot of time about our retirement planning and financial planning, and that's a relief when that gets done. And we feel in healthcare this is just as important to tell us your health wishes so that we can know exactly what's important to you and we can deliver care just the way you expect it up to your last breath.
I would think this is a little bit kind of like a will, too, in the fact that if somebody passes away and they haven't taken care of all their stuff, then suddenly their family is kind of stuck with that, and arguments can happen and all that kind of good stuff. With this, too, I would guess that would be comfortable for a family that they don't have to plan exactly how to handle a sickness, that the person that is sick wants to do these things and they've already made it very clear how they want that to happen. I would think that would be a relief for everyone in a family.
Exactly. I think that at the end of life, there's a lot of emotion, and if there's one less stressful conversation to have, it's good for everyone. I also think it's really honorable to be able to respect mom, dad, brothers, sisters, grandparents' decisions and say, we're doing what they wanted us to do. And there's a lot of peace in having that settled ahead of time. And for families that are divided, this just really straightened things up.
I think the thing I would take away from this the most, from what you said, I thought it was a very important statement. It's the quality of life, not the quantity. And you want someone, if they're, you know, they know that the end is near, that they can live their life in the final days or months the way they want to, not with a bunch of things attached that they didn't want to have attached and getting an extra three months or whatever in a way that they're not comfortable with.
Exactly. And so we are going to talk about this again at an upcoming event, and I want to invite our listeners to that. So at FHN Burchard Hills Building, bottom level, June 12th, 5:30 p.m., it's open to the public. I'm going to speak on the topic of it's never too early to plan ahead, and this will be a talk about advanced directives. We'll give you a copy of these three forms that we discussed. You can register online at fhn.org/advanced directives, or the phone number 1-877-6000-FHN, and we would welcome to have as many attend as possible.
And that, again, is at the Family Health Care Center, FHN Family Health Care Center, Burchard Hills. Yeah, it's on Fairway Drive in Freeport. And again, coming up Wednesday, that's a week from this Wednesday, next Wednesday, June 12th, starts at 5:30 in the evening for folks that maybe want to make their plans. A rough idea how long it'll last?
The session is 5:30 to 6:30.
Mm-hmm. All right. Excellent. And again, if you want to register, fhn.org/advance directives. And that's to register. Very interesting topic today, Doctor. We've been talking with Dr. Rebecca Pedersen, MD and FAAFP, Chief Quality Officer at FHN. Thanks for sharing this information. I hope some people take you up on it and get a good weight that they're going to be able to know that their life is safe in the years to come and their family will be comfortable too. So, Doctor, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope we get to talk again soon.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Pedersen, and that's Dial-A-Doc from FHN. This is WBGR, Big FM 93.7, where it's 7:45 on a Tuesday morning.